He is risen. Amen. Amen. Glad to have you here with us this morning in person. Glad to have those of you who are joining us online there on all those different platforms. Welcome. Be sure to subscribe, follow there, do all those things that you need to do. And just wanted to say welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming also. If you need a bulletin, these are at the door, so be sure to grab one. They're in the windowsills here also. So we've got the children's worship bulletins in the windowsill to my right. So please be sure to grab one of those. You can also download all those on our church website at highlandbaptistchurch.com, as well as the prayer list. Encourage you to do that. The prayer list is in the holders right across from the office there. So just wanted to make you aware of that. We're glad to have those who are guests with us this morning, especially. We want to encourage you to pick up one of the gift bags that are on the sides of the stage. We also have bags for kids. If you weren't here for our Easter egg hunt, we especially encourage you to grab one of these bags that has a kite in it. We want to give that to you as a gift this morning. But even if there are some of those left after our guests have had those, feel free to pick up any of those that you want for your kids, or you kids want to pick those up. So just wanted to make you aware of those things. Wanted to say welcome to our guests. In the pew in front of you, you'll find some guest cards. You can scan the QR code there with your phone, or you can fill out the paper version there and put it in the offering plates down here at the front or at the doors as you leave this morning. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Amen. We're looking forward to it also. The choir is doing several songs this morning. We're fixing to do another one. It's called Shine on Us. You may have heard it. It's an old one. So pray for us as we do this morning.
Morning, and all. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Turn with me, please, with your hymnals and or sing with the screens. Hymn 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We'll do the first and last, Tommy.
Well, this morning, you'll notice also in your bulletins our Missionary of the Week moment there. I want to encourage you to read about Jefferson and Carol Hernandez. We are still going to be collecting our offering for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American Mission. So want to continue to pray to reach our goal there. You'll notice in your bulletins there that we've had a significant amount come in already, but we still want to press forward to reach that goal. So you pray that you would give even this morning. If you're not prepared to do that this morning, that you would do that later. You can do that online. If you go to our church website there and go to the right-hand side, click the Give Online tab, you can do your giving there as well as the giving for the missions offering. But we want to share with you a thank you video from our missionary. Some of those that you've seen in the videos that we've shared thus far, some that you may not have seen. So prayerfully watch this video this morning.
Hey, we're Joseph and Kristen Gibbons, and we grew up in Southern Baptist churches. It's where God called us to ministry. And we are now planting Favor City Church in Henderson, Nevada, which is in the greater Las Vegas Valley.
And thank you for supporting us in our new church in the city as we're here to make Jesus known. And thank you for continuing to lead your church in giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We could not do this without you.
Hi, my name is Jefferson Hernandez.
And I'm Carol Hernandez.
We are an ordinary family in the hands of the extraordinary living God who has called us to make Jesus known.
We want to thank you for your prayers and your gifts because He has helped us to reach the Hispanic community.
Hi, we're the Glimp family from Jacksonville, Florida. We're church planting missionaries here doing all we can to make Jesus known. I just want to say thank you for giving so generously to the Annie Armstrong offering and your prayers that enable us to do the work that we're doing here, the gospel work that's so needed. We just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And what a blessed ministry each one of those have, and there are so many others too, so I'd encourage you to go back and watch our videos that we've shared on our social media, as well as those prayer requests for those individuals. So we want to go to the Lord in prayer today, especially remembering the Hernandezes, praying for families in their church to grow in their devotion to Christ. So let's pray for all of those missionaries as well as for this offering. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again as we come before your throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven us of our sins, that you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray that the blessings that you have given us, Lord, that we would pass those on to other people, because that's the main reason you have blessed us, to be a blessing to others, primarily to share the gospel with others, to disciple those who are new believers. And so, Father, I pray for these missionaries that we have an opportunity to pour our lives into by our giving, by our praying, even by our going. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just Protect them, watch over them, keep them safe. Lord, we pray that you would provide for their every need that they have. We just uplift the Hernandez family and all the others that we have mentioned throughout this last month. Lord, that you would just bless them in a special way as they are gathered together to worship you even today. Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we give towards this offering. Lord, that we would be able to reach that goal. And Father, I pray that you will be glorified and honored in this service and everything we say and all that we do and the songs that are sang and the message that is preached. And Father, we pray that we will have a glorious, glorious Resurrection Sunday today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I've already mentioned there about your giving that you can do that. For those who may be guests, you may not know what this cross is over here with the blue papers on it. We have cards down here at the front that if you know someone who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, we encourage you on the back of the blue part to write their name, tear that off, and place it in the offering plate. We're praying for each one of these individuals over here. We're asking you to pray for yours, but we're also making some new cards, some that are white for you to take. There are some of those down here if you need to pick up one of those, to pray for those individuals who are on the cross over here, praying that the Holy Spirit will work in their lives to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. We had a blessed sunrise service this morning. I didn't get to pick one of the pictures that was shared with us into the presentation this morning, but you watch social media. We'll have that on later this afternoon. Glorious, glorious time before the cloud cover started coming in and the worship that we had there together. So thank you for those who helped with that. Thank you for coming for the sunrise service. If you didn't come, you missed a wonderful blessing. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Let's all praise the Lord on this next song by standing. I didn't see you. Church, children's church, or not? Yes. Okay, children will be gathering on the piano side. So let's praise the Lord here with He Lives, and we'll do the two verses.
It has been a blessing getting ready with the choir for this Sunday. If you would like to be a part of the choir, we'd encourage you to come on Wednesday nights. We're starting some new music beginning this coming Wednesday. So it's been a great pleasure to get ready for Easter. We have one more song that we want to sing for you this morning. It's entitled, Give Me Jesus. And that's all that we need is Jesus. So prayerfully listen to this song this morning.
Thank you.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians. This message this morning I've entitled, O Love of God. And you're going to see that as Paul expresses the love of God in these verses, that our lives as Christians are to be about glorifying our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to begin, if you will, by reading verse 7 down through verse 13. So if you would, let's stand and read God's word in honor of his word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for your love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. And Lord, we thank you and praise the name of Jesus that on that Sunday morning, the stone was rolled back not to let Jesus out, but to let those disciples in and those ladies in to see that Jesus had risen from the dead. Lord, I pray this morning that we would realize the gospel in our hearts and in our lives, that if there are those who are here this morning or watching online who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, may today be the day of salvation for them. Lord, for those who are saved, I pray this message will strengthen us, will encourage us, will set us on fire to give us confidence, Lord, that we have the Holy Spirit living within us to go forth to do all that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, psychologists refer to them as defining moments, those events in your life that shape the person that you become and the person that you are. We all have those moments. Rose Kennedy, the matriarch of the Kennedy family, said this one time. She said, life is not a matter of milestones, but a series of moments. Think about it. When you look back on your life, think about the memories that stand out, those moments that stand out. Those are defining moments that have earthly consequences. But there is a defining moment that has an eternal consequence. To me, it was that moment where I was at my grandmother's trailer and staying the weekend with her, and she sat me down at her kitchen table and began to ask me if I knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior, if I wanted to trust in him. She began to share the gospel with me, and I accepted the Lord that night there with my grandmother in her trailer. That was a defining moment for me when I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I didn't realize it then, but I know it now. It was the defining moment of my life. I say it because I didn't really understand all that had just happened to me at that moment, because if I had, I probably would have said the word unbelievable. It's unbelievable what God has done for us. And we're in this series that we're looking at in Ephesians called Unbelievable. We're in this series because that is the theme of the whole book of Ephesians in this letter written by a man named Paul. He shares with us two things that truly are unbelievable. What God has done for us so that we might know him through his son, Jesus Christ, and what God can do through us once we know him through his son, Jesus Christ. So Paul here, he has been explaining to us in the beginning parts here of chapter 1, even in the greeting there that he's given to us. He's been explaining to us God's plan that was formed before the world even began, before the world was even created. It was a plan to adopt people into his family through his son, Jesus Christ, and that has been made a reality by the Holy Spirit. Salvation, you could look at it in a sense as a team effort. Someone has compared it to a symphony that has three movements. The first movement is God the Father choosing to bless his people with every spiritual blessing that they could imagine. The second movement is those blessings being made possible by God the Son coming to die for our sins. And the third movement is God the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sins, converting us through faith, and completing us by ensuring our salvation. So what we're going to see in these verses this morning is all that happens at that defining moment when somebody realizes that they need Jesus as their Savior and their Lord, when they trust in Him as Savior. That's why the moment here is called the defining moment for everyone. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. First point I want you to get from this message about the love of God here is this, is that we believe in the grace of God. Here's the thing I want you to realize this morning. There is not a single one of us who are here, none of you who are watching online, who deserves to be saved. There is nothing you have done, nothing you could ever do. God has done everything that needed to be done, not because of you or what you did, but because He loves you and wants you to be a part of His family. So Paul is taking here these believers in the church of Ephesus back to that moment in time when they made that momentous decision to turn from death to life and from darkness to light by putting their faith and their trust in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. Look again, if you will, with me at verse 13 in particular. It says, in Him also. Who is the Him it's talking about there? It's Jesus Christ. So in Jesus Christ, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Paul is taking these believers back to that defining moment of their life when they made that decision to surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Now, it was a two-step process. First, they heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. Now, the word truth means more than just anything that isn't a lie. It refers to that which is real, that which is actual, as opposed to that which is false or imaginary. So it's true that Mickey Mouse is a cartoon character, but he's not real. The message of the gospel isn't just the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It's that He was a real figure, and He really was the Son of God, and He really did die for our sin, and He really was raised from the dead. So the first step in truly accepting the gospel of salvation is not only just hearing it, but coming to the realization that what you're hearing about the gospel is true, that it's real, that it's not some fairy tale, that it's not some myth. And so it refers, the gospel does, to the truth does, to an actual historical figure named Jesus and an actual historical event that He both died on a cross for our sins and that He was physically raised from the dead. That the defining moment isn't just hearing about the grace of God. It's believing in the grace of God, which brings salvation. That's why Paul adds the qualifying condition that he talks about there in this verse, when you believed in Him. There are three kinds of people in this world. There are people who've never heard the gospel. There are people who've heard the gospel and didn't believe it. And there are people who have heard the gospel and did believe it. And that the difference between hearing the good news of the gospel and believing the truth of the gospel, there's a difference there. What about people, though, who've never heard about Jesus? Another pastor said that his short answer is this: I don't know what I don't know. I do know that I do know. I do know two things. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ, and God is just and always does the right thing. That's the answer to that question, what about those who've never heard about Jesus? Here's what someone else said. They said, I would far rather be someone who has never heard about Jesus than someone who has heard about Jesus and rejected Him. It's better to never hear the gospel than to hear the gospel and not believe the gospel, because the moment you hear the gospel, you're now responsible for the gospel. So you're here this morning and you're hearing the gospel. Jesus died for your sins. He lived a perfect, sinless life in your behalf. There was a price that had to be paid for our sin. The wages of sin is death. But God, in His sovereign plan, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, in that while we were yet sinners, nothing good within me, and yet He still sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins as the perfect sacrifice, paying a price I could not pay, living a life I could not live. Notice that leads to the second thought here. What does it mean to believe? How do you know that you truly believed? Think of it this way. There's a difference between belief and faith. Let me put it this way. We can believe something to be true without it making much difference to us. But we place our faith only in something that is vital to the way we live. So how do you know that your belief is really faith? Well, it tells us in this verse. It tells us that you are marked with a seal by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the moment you believe in the grace of God, the Spirit of God comes and lives in you. And when He does, He's going to change you from the inside out. So often we want to change people from the outside. We try to get our kids to conform. Do this, don't do that. And we try to corral them and keep them within certain bounds. But what happens to us as believers is when you trust in Jesus, it's not an outside boundaries here. It's from the inside that the transformation happens, and that you love God and you want to obey Him and you want to live for Him. So how do you know that your belief is really faith? It's because you have the seal of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the moment you believe, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you, and He comes to empower you, He comes to equip you, He comes to enable you to live that godly life that you can't live in and of yourself. And so in other words, when you truly place your faith in Jesus Christ, God puts the Holy Spirit in you because He won't let you go back to being you. He loves you too much to leave you in your sin. So when you truly experience Jesus Christ, you're different, and you can't help but be different. We all know people who claim to be Christians. You may be here this morning, and you're one of those on the outside looking in and say, I've heard about those Christians. I see them at my workplace. I see them in my community. I see them in my neighborhood. They profess to know Christ, but man, the way they live, that ain't Christ. That's not the Christ I've heard from the Scriptures. When you truly experience Jesus, you're changed from the inside out. You know, as people claim to be followers of Christ, there are those, though, who have no fruit in their life. And some are even living a defiantly and willfully ungodly lifestyle. Now, I don't have the authority to definitively say to someone who claims to be a Christian, you're not a Christian. But I'll tell you what I can say. Your lifestyle should give you no comfort from Scripture to assume that you're a Christian. Be careful about your lifestyle and make sure that you examine your heart. You see, the defining moment begins when you believe in the grace of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. The love of God, secondly, shows us that we receive the guarantee of God. Notice again, let's go back to verse 13 one more time here, and we're going to look at verse 14. Because far more happens at that defining moment when we trust Jesus than just salvation. Notice what verse 13 again says. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. But then look at verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So from the beginning of time, we have always wanted assurances. We've always wanted guarantees because we realize you can't always trust other people. People don't always keep their promises. People do lie. We demand things like oaths or sworn affidavits or surety bonds or guarantees or warranties or contracts, anything that will guarantee that what we're promised to get, we will get. Every one of us wants those kinds of assurances. God gives those of us who place our faith in Jesus Christ the greatest guarantee of all that our faith will be rewarded with everything that God has promised, and that is the Holy Spirit. He's described in two ways, first as a seal and then as a deposit. Notice first of all where he's described here as a seal. Back in the day, whenever a king would give an order or write a letter, he would take his signet ring, they would put a glob of wax there on the document, he would take his ring and bear it down into that wax, that hot wax, and it would bear the imprint of his ring, and then it would harden. They would take that document to the person who was to receive it, who was to read it, and they had to have that symbol also. Nobody else could read this document. Nobody else could touch this document. And so when the king would do that, no one else could open it. Its contents were totally protected. That's the image that's being used here of the Holy Spirit as our seal. Seals are very important even today. I mean, think about it. To keep the air out of a jar, you have to seal its mouth with a rubber ring lid. You put it under the water there, and you give it a hot water bath to seal those vegetables that you're putting in a jar, in a mason jar. To keep oxygen from ruining wine, you seal it with a cork and wax. To seal a deal, what do? We sign a contract to notarize your signature. In other words, a seal confirms that an object or a document is the real thing. It refers to authenticity. A seal marks something as someone's property and refers to identity. So a seal makes something totally safe. It refers to security. A seal closes a transaction permanently. We said last week that we have received every spiritual blessing that God has to give us in Christ Jesus. But we don't have all those blessings yet. There are some blessings that are yet to come. We all sometimes battle doubt that we'll either have them or that those blessings are even real. Because sometimes we look at the world, we look at those who are without Christ, and we wonder, they're getting blessed. They seem like they're prospering all the time. And I'm trying to live for the Lord, and it seems like I struggle more than they do. What's up here? We talked about that if you go back to our Wednesday night message in the book of Malachi, a very detailed explanation of that. But here's what I want you to see, is we battle with that doubt, and that's why God has given to us who truly trust in him the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's promise that the deal that was made when we heard the gospel and when we believe the gospel, that deal is sure, that deal is safe, that deal is sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not only a seal, he describes, though, he's a deposit. Notice what he says there. He's like a deposit. A deposit, that word was used of earnest money or a down payment on a piece of property. It was the first installment that guaranteed that everything else would be paid. In this case, the guarantee isn't separate from what's guaranteed. It's actually the first portion of what's guaranteed. So when you make a deposit on a house and you sign a contract, you just guaranteed yourself two things: that you bought a house and that you're going to pay for it. Not everybody does that. But that's the things that you've been you're guaranteeing. You're going to buy it, you're buying a house and you're going to pay for it. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee to us that the home that He has promised to us in heaven is waiting on us. It's a guarantee that the life that He's given us is eternal. And it doesn't just begin out there after we die. It begins right here, right now, when you trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. His unfailing promise and everything He said that we would have, we will have. The Holy Spirit is God's good housekeeping seal of approval that we belong to Him, that He belongs to us, and that what He has is ours and what we have is His. And so the joy and the peace and the love that we experience here, that's just a down payment on what we're going to experience when we get to glory. That just ought to blow your mind, that what we're experiencing here is going to be hundreds of times even better when we get to heaven. When you believe in the grace of God, you receive the guarantee of God. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. What love God has for us, that He has guaranteed your salvation with the blood of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, here's what else I want you to see, is that we achieve our goal in life, our purpose in life is to achieve the glory of God. That's the whole purpose of what you're here on this earth for as a believer, is to make the glory of God known to the world around us. When you really think about what God has done for us, and how that when before this world was even created, He chose us, He adopted us, He redeemed us, He forgave us all by sending His Son to die for us, sending His Holy Spirit to live in us. It is more than just a story that seems too good to be true. In a way, it is just unbelievable. To know that God the Father loved us enough. I mean, think about who you are. You know who you are better than I do. And yet God loved you in spite of you. God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. And to know that God the Son loved us enough to come and die for us. And to know that the Spirit of God loves us enough to come and live in us. That is unbelievable. The question now isn't how have we become a part of God's family, but why? Why did God do this for us? It's the same reason that He does everything else. Look at verse 14 one more time. Talking about the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. To the praise of His glory. The plan of God was always centered around the grace of God. The purpose of God was always for our lives to bring glory to God. Everything that God does is only secondary for our good. Primarily, everything He does is to bring glory to His name. And this is the third time Paul uses this phrase. You can go back to verse 6, and Paul said that every spiritual blessing that God gives to us is to the praise of His glorious grace. He says in verse 12, that when people put their hope in Jesus Christ, is that it might be for the praise of His glory. And now He says that the Holy Spirit has come to us not just as a guarantee that God is going to do for us what He promised, but He's actually come to us for the glory of the one who made the promise. Now, there's a difference between the glory of God and the glory of man, because it's not just what God is or what God has or what God deserves. It's who God is. In other words, think of it in this way. We don't make the sun light. It is light. We don't make the sky blue, it is blue. We don't make water wet, it is wet. We don't make God glorious, He already is glorious. And because He is glorious and He is glory, then we also are to give Him glory. Now you might say that it's not only your greatest purpose, but at the end of the day, it really is the only purpose for your life to bring glory to God. J.I. Packer put it this way. He said, the only thing that God is bound to do is the very thing that He requires of us, to glorify Himself. So the reason why your salvation and my salvation is so wonderful and so glorious is not just because of the grace that comes to us and the goodness that is placed within us, but it's also because of the glory that comes to the one who gave us that grace, the one who gave us goodness. And so even though you might not ever have realized it, the reason why the defining moment of any person's life is when they trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior is because at that exact moment, when we believe the grace of God, we receive the guarantee of God and we achieve the glory of God. Let me ask you this. You ever heard the following people or organizations? Jack Tinker and Partners. Doyle Dane Birnbach. BBDO. The initials, BBDO. You ever heard of that? Ever heard of Foot, Comb, and Belding? Or J. Walter Thompson? If you're like me, you've never heard of any of those people or any of those organizations. And if you haven't, then their mission was accomplished. Their mission was successful. You know why? Those are all advertising agencies. Their job is not to make a name for themselves. Their job is to make a name for others. It's not to shine the spotlight on themselves and their companies, but to shine a spotlight on the clients they represent and their products. You've never heard of them, but you may be familiar with their work. For example, you ever heard this phrase? Maybe our young people might not have, but I know our older people have. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh. You've heard that. That was the work of Jack Tinker and Partners for Alka-Seltzer in 1976. How about this one? This may be a little bit harder. We try harder. Somebody got it. DDB, or Doyle Dane Birnbach, created the slogan, We Try Harder, for Avis Rental Cars back in 1962 and put them on the map. Good. Campbell's Soup. Campbell's Soup, that's the only ad Campbell's Soup ever produced back in the day. BBDO came up with that, and it's been used ever since 1935. You'll hear this one around every Christmas season. When you care enough to send the very best. Hallmark Cards. Started in 1934, courtesy of FCB, or Foot, Comb, Belding. Finally, this one, Snap, Crackle, Pop. Rice Krispies. You ever eat Rice Krispies? This is courtesy of J. Walter Thompson. All of those companies are success, and all of those products are successful products. They're all successful ads. They're all successful companies because they know where the spotlight is supposed to be shining. The defining moment in life is when you hear the word of truth and you believe in the grace of God, and the moment that you receive the guarantee of God, and because of what we achieve for the glory of God, you shine the spotlight where it's deserved. Not on yourself, but on Jesus Christ. Our whole purpose is to be uplifting the name of Jesus. That's what this day is a celebration of, lifting up the name of Jesus, who hung on a cross and died for your sins, who was buried in a tomb and arose on the third day to give you eternal life. If you've experienced the defining moment in your life, you have a responsibility to give that message to others. If you haven't experienced that defining moment, you can experience that this morning. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. The love of God for you couldn't have been demonstrated in any greater way than Jesus dying on that cross. But what a victory and what a blessing he has promised and guaranteed for you through the Holy Spirit if you'll trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Lord, thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for giving us every spiritual blessing that we could ever possibly need when we trust in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. But thank you even more, Lord, for the guarantee that what you have promised to us, it will be fulfilled. Lord, to know that even now, if we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, you will begin that process even now of changing us from the inside out, making us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Lord, if there is anyone who's here this morning, what better thing to do on this day, Resurrection Sunday, than to come alive from the dead spiritually, to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Father, I pray there would be those this morning that would say in their hearts, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died on that cross for me. I believe he was resurrected from the grave. I trust in Jesus this morning as my Lord and my Savior. I repent of my sin, and I turn away from it, and I turn to follow you. Come into my life, Jesus. Change me from the inside out." Lord, I pray that there's those who made that kind of commitment in their hearts this morning, that they would come, Lord, this morning to share that with us, that we can pray with them, that we can encourage them in their walk with you. But Lord, there are many of us here this morning that we have heard this message of the gospel. I pray that we as believers, Lord, would leave this day and we would make Jesus known to the world around us. Lord, that's the whole purpose of where you've placed us, the job that we have, to the circles of influence that we have, is to share with others, to make Jesus known and not ourselves. Make much of Jesus. So help us, Lord, to make much of Jesus in our hearts and our lives throughout this coming week. Lord, if that's simply by asking somebody, "How can I pray for you?" leading to gospel conversations. Father, we pray that your will be done in our lives as believers. And Father, I pray that we would repent of our sin from not having shared this the way we should have. Father, I pray that you have cleansed us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Help us to rest in the assurance of the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're gonna ask you, if you will, to stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 318. It's on the screen, or you can look there in your hymnals, number 318. Brother Mike. Amen. We're going to ask you to be seated for just a moment. Brother Bobby's going to share a few quick announcements with us.
Come on up, Matt. You know, He's Risen is the reason that we're here this Easter Sunday. And with that, I want to say Happy Easter to you. And we will not have any evening worship this evening. That way you can spend time with your families, you know. You can also check the upcoming dates and events in the bulletin. And with that, I'll ask Matt to come and share with us the announcement he has.
I want to thank you, church, for donating your cans to the youth department. Stan and I took those this past week. But we are no longer going to be collecting cans anymore. So I thank you again for all that you have donated. But we will no longer be collecting those cans. Also, Central Kid Campers, in April, will be starting a fundraiser for camp, selling popcorn. More information of that will be coming out soon. You can also see Amanda Monroe for information. But just be on the lookout for popcorn fundraisers. Also, as you saw last week and this week, we had at least 15 children for Children's Church. And so we really need some help with that. And so if you are a member of the church and you have a child who participates in that, we would really like to have two adults and one student helper to be able to assist. And maybe it's just helping but not teaching. If you could be a part of that, that would be a huge blessing to us. And if no one does, you know, come forward, I will have to make some phone calls. So, and I will ask you. So I'm giving you the opportunity to act in obedience because the Lord is telling you to. So I encourage you to be thinking how you can help, maybe serve in Highland, and maybe it's through helping out with Children's Church. So please be a part of that. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, as far as prayer concerns, we ask that you be with Belle Roarton's family, her cousin Robin Renfro's husband passed away unexpectedly. They live up in Illinois. He leaves behind a wife and three sons and a grandchild, so we ask that you be with them in prayer. Also, Miss Christine Cranford, that's Pat Durham's mom, has been moved over to NHC. So keep her in your prayers. Jerry Darden is improving. He had two surgeries in the past week. It's my understanding that he will be transferring back to Tullahoma either Monday or sometime this week. It's possibly that he'll be going over to NHC. We want to thank you for the prayers and concerns and phone call for the Darden family. And with that, is there any other prayer concerns that I forgot to mention? With that, let's close in prayer. Father, again, we want to thank you for this day. But most of all, Father, we want to thank you for each and every person that has come out today to be with us. But Father, we also ask your grace and blessings on the ones that couldn't be here today. We ask that you meet them at their point of need. Father, thank you for loving us and for providing a plan of salvation through your Son, Jesus. Guide and direct our lives. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Take us home and bring us back safe again. In your name, we give the honor and the praise. Amen. Thank you.